I'd like to say thank you to the music team. What an awesome thing to have a group of guys willing to invest all of that time and that effort for us to be filled with the really with the power of the Spirit as it comes through music. As a speaker, I'm not musical at all, and as a speaker, I have for years deeply appreciated any music team that leads before I speak, because as I sit or I stand, I find that the words in the songs and the music, it ministers to my heart. So I have been preached to, I have been taught, I have been ministered to before I step up to begin to share. What an awesome thing for God to use others in our lives to fill us up before He asks us to pour ourselves out. We really couldn't ask for more than that, could we? This evening, we have the opportunity, and I'm excited about this, we have the opportunity to talk about this concept of Christianity in work. You can rephrase that very simply to the work of the kingdom of God. And we're going to explore that a little bit more. But as we open this morning, I'd like us to contemplate, or not this morning, but this evening as we begin, I'd like us to contemplate John chapter 15. And we probably won't go through a lot of it, but you guys know where this is going. There's a few verses in there that I think are key. And you probably know by now that my objective here is to lay a very clear foundation in Scripture. And then we might tell some stories that really don't matter or mean very much, but we hope that they do. And then we ground with Scripture again. But this, I believe, will really set the stage for Christianity in work, or the work of the kingdom of God. I am the true vine, Jesus says, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Interesting. You see, you are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it is in the vine, it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so you will be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. Amen. What do I pick up on here? There's something that seems to be screaming out of that scripture. Jesus repeats himself over and over and over again. Abide. That's what I see. Abide. When I read that. Abide and abide. Abide and abide. He just keeps coming back to that. So I want to say with great confidence as we begin this evening that it is very important for us to abide. So if then, foundationally for the identity of our life, if that solid rock is the Lord Jesus Christ, hears these words of mine and does them, has received the Lord Jesus Christ and believed on Him, if growing our roots down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love is, hears these words of mine and does them, drawing up our strength and our nourishment from Jesus Christ, and that becomes the balance of our life, the strength, so that when our life is rocked by storms or even rocked by success, that we can stand in the storm. Then I believe that when we talk about Christianity and work, and we talk about the work of the kingdom of God, we're talking about fruit. Well, what a great place for fruit to grow. A heart that has received and believed and knows that Jesus Christ is. And I know that I am because Jesus Christ is. And I know that if I dig down deep into Him, if I pour myself into the Word and draw strength and nourishment from, if I seek the Lord Jesus Christ in relationship and draw strength from, that then not only will I know who I am, but I know how I will stand. If that is true, then I believe that I am abiding in. And this doesn't say that if you abide in me and my words abide in you, there is a possibility that on some occasion I may have a little bitty dried up grape grow on you. It doesn't say that. And I think it's important for us to notice that Jesus doesn't say, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, I might, and if it's convenient and if I want to and if the circumstances allow, I might allow, you know, a grape to grow or an apple to grow or an orange to grow or whatever. There might be something good that comes from your life if you abide in me. I want you to notice, and I want you to notice well that it doesn't say that. What does it say? We want to ground our talk tonight firmly in God's Word. If you abide in me, and if my Word abides in you, you will bear fruit. We're talking about Christianity and work. We're talking about the work of the kingdom of God. I am telling you that if we abide in the Lord Jesus Christ, our life will bear fruit. And the Bible even says, Jesus says in His own words, you will bear much fruit. An abundant harvest of fruit in your life and in mine because we know who Jesus Christ is and because we know who we are and because we know where our roots are sunk into. We know where we're drawing up our nourishment from and we know that we will stand. Not because we are strong, but because we can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens us. That person need not worry whether there will be fruit in their life. Because Jesus promises that there will be fruit in that person's life. And He says that it is by this that my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. Jesus said, I want to glorify my Father. That's what Jesus wanted to do. So as we live in Him and as we allow Jesus Christ to flow through us, fruit is produced. Jesus is glorified and Jesus immediately glorifies the Father. Isn't that amazing? I love it. That now grounds me solidly to this topic of Christianity and work. Working for the kingdom. In this place, I can be confident. And in this place alone, God's Word. I want to share now a little bit more of my story for you. And again, I feel like, does it apply or does it not apply? But it doesn't really matter. I feel that if any one of you identifies with any of the things that I have experienced, if it helps you in any way, then so be it. It's worth it. But I am so thankful that we have God's Word and we have truth to ground ourselves in. But as I have shared with you, let's pick up when I moved from here, lived here for many, many years, and this is where a lot of our success was in the Treasure Valley. And when we went completely broke in 2011, I took a job working by the hour in the Tri-Cities. And we moved there in the fall of 2011. That's the job that I got fired from in the end of 2012. And so I really worked for him for about a year and 3 months or something like that. I was pastoring while I was there, pastoring a small church, again, that couldn't afford to have a full-time pastor, so I was a lay pastor. It was the same thing that God had asked me to do here when I was in the Treasure Valley. And as I have thought back over my life, in terms of this Christianity and work, working for the kingdom of God, I have always desired that my life would have value and eternal meaning in the kingdom of God. Do any of you desire that? Is that a common thing for us Christians, that we want to know that we matter in the kingdom of God? I don't think that's wrong. I mean, I think that's a good desire to have. Since I was a little kid, I wanted that. I want you to contemplate this with me. I was asked to speak for the first time in 2006. The market was beginning to crash, but none of us knew it. I was asked to pastor the small church that Jed and I were a part of here in 2008 as a worldwide recession was recognized. I was asked to pastor a small church in the Tri-Cities after having pastored here in 2008 and 9 and 10 and watching a church of about 70 people, a lot of kids, and a very, very, very tight-knit fellowship. I would say that the River's Edge church, we were more like family than church. And I watched my friends lose their homes as they lost their jobs, move to the East Coast, to the West Coast, to the Midwest, you name it, they moved. Move in with this family member, that family member, move in here, move in there. And God asked me, while my life was being stripped of every limb and the tree was being broken in half, God asked me to stand firm, not on anything that I had or that I could do, because we've already established that I was in big trouble, to stand firm on places like this in Scripture. Or about one chapter later, where Jesus says, in this world you will have trouble. But be of good cheer, my friends, for I have overcome the world. And as I pastored and I watched the pain and the destruction of the financial loss, and I watched people lose everything, and God asked me to encourage people to continue to believe, to continue to live, to continue to keep their identity on the solid rock of the Lord Jesus Christ, to continue to push their roots down into the soil of God's marvelous love, to continue to stand firm in the storm. God was challenging me to do the same. And then when I moved to Tri-Cities, I said, as we shut the church down here, there was nobody left. Pretty much everybody had moved away. It was Jed and Clarissa and my wife and myself and one or two other families. We said we think it's time to close the doors and shut it down. And that's when all of you had the opportunity to get to know Jed and Clarissa. It's about that time that they came to your church. And I was so hurt and so broken as I asked God, why would you ask me to love these people? Why would you ask me to serve these people? Only to watch them go through the worst stuff of their life. And then they all move away. And I care about them. I don't even know where they are. I don't even know what they're doing. But you see, they're not mine. They're the Lord Jesus Christ. They're all right. Jesus has them. They were never mine. I was only asked to love them and serve them for a time and a season. I had to let them all go. It's like letting your kids go. Just let them go. So when they asked me to pastor in the Tri-Cities, I thought, no way, this isn't going to end well. I don't like this plan at all. But they needed a pastor, and like I say, it was a small group of people, and so here we go again. We do this routine again. And different story this time. Economically, things were more solid there. Again, we had a wonderful fellowship with those people. I love the people in the Tri-Cities that God gave us the opportunity to serve. This time, when we go into the February of 2013, and I realize that God gives me the choice to either call everybody up and tell them I'm not going to pay them because I'm too busy in the ministry to get into the flow and try to make the kind of money that it would take to pay back a tremendous amount of debt, or pay it back. I had to go in front of that church and I had to tell them that I was not biblically qualified to be their pastor and that I had to resign. And that, my friends, is not exactly an easy or a fun thing to do. But I believe it is fairly clear in the Scripture when the Bible says that if you're going to be a leader in the church, that you should have a good rapport at home. Your relationship in your home needs to be in order. It doesn't mean there can never be an argument or a difficulty. We're talking about biblically, things need to be in their correct order. Okay? It also says that you need to have a good rapport within and without the church. How would you feel if you knew that the guy that owed you a bunch of money was too busy over here pastoring? What does that do to the reputation of the position of pastor, to the reputation of the kingdom of God, to the reputation of my heavenly Father? And as God convicted me, it was far easier for me to stand in front of 100 people that I was pastoring and resign than it was to now be convicted and know that maybe not yet, because it was fresh, but over time, that it would tarnish the reputation of my Lord and my God if I continued to ignore a problem in my life. We're talking about work, the work of the kingdom, and Christianity in our workplace. That's a little bit of what my life has looked like as I have striven, struggled, and tried to serve my King. So I resign and I think, now I'm done and done. Right? I've tried and I've tried and I can't get it right no matter what way I go, no matter what I do. So I come back and I go to work, and as I shared with you in the morning session, things didn't go well, but they began, the process began to go, the ball is beginning to turn, and right now, because of the economic upswing, we're riding with that, my wife and I are, and our business is moving forward, and there is a flow going on in our life, and God has begun to ask me once again to use yet another gift that He's given me that I tried to stuff underneath the rug. And here I stand. Not qualified to be here, but asked by my King to share what I know to be true from God's Word. And on occasion, share the story of what it looks like to be a warrior in the kingdom of God, striving so hard to do what is right, but finding yourself wounded, broken, and just really messing up a lot. That's my story. That's how it goes. But I continue to fight. I continue to strive. I identify with the Apostle Paul very well. He fought for truth all of his life. And I will continue to fight if God will give me strength. I will continue to fight for what is right. And God willing, my friends, someday, He will allow me to, I will pay back every penny of the loss from almost a decade ago. But I want you to consider that in 2013, when God asked me to resign from pastoring, it was 7 years of famine in my life from when I started to speak. 7 years. And then He really put me in a position where I needed to step back and resign. Nothing is accidental when the hand of God is moving you in your life. You have given your life to Him. Trust Him with it. You might not always like how it looks. You might not always like how it goes. But trust Him. He is worthy and He is capable. So let's dig a little bit deeper into this concept. Christianity in the workplace. What does it mean to work for the kingdom of God? In John chapter 17, starting in verse 15, Jesus says it like this: I do not pray that you should take them, that would be His disciples, and really all of us, I do not pray that you would take them out of the world, but that you would keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, the disciples in front of him, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That's us. That they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world, and then further down, that the world may believe that you sent me. Are you at peace with your current place and position in life? Have you ever thought that if you could just be a pastor, if you could just be a missionary, if you could just be something important to the work of the kingdom of God, that it would fulfill this deep need or desire in your soul? Are you at peace with where you are in your life right now, or are you waiting? Are you wishing that you were who you're not? Do you struggle to believe that God is working through you for the furtherance of his kingdom? Or do you think that maybe because you're just that your life really doesn't have any eternal significance? It matters if you're a missionary. It matters if you're a pastor, but I'm just so it doesn't really matter. My life doesn't have eternal significance. Are you waiting for God to call you to a place or to a position that is valuable or important to the kingdom? Do you identify with any of those concerns or questions or doubts? The reason why I bring them up is because I believe that we all struggle with that to some degree or another. Some people not as much as others, and that's fair. But I believe in some way every one of us would have to admit that we wrestle with this. Is it really of any eternal significance to run a business putting siding on houses? Doesn't seem like it. You know, probably not going to name your business, you know, Siding for Jesus or anything like that. You could. But do you see how most of us are not in full-time ministry? So we can begin to say, I'm just, but if only, you know, wow. And, you know, maybe someday God will see me down here and think that he should actually put me into play on the chessboard of the kingdom of God. Okay? I want you to know that we are all called, we are all commissioned, and we are all given life with a purpose. I want to tell you something that I find to be very, very exciting. The call and the commission and the purpose is identical for every single person who has received the Lord Jesus Christ and who has believed on his name and who is a child of God. Man, woman, or child. That's good stuff. You want to know what that is? You are called. You are commissioned. And you have a purpose. And that purpose is to glorify our Heavenly Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? You say, but aren't we all? And aren't we all? Yes, there is. That's coming. But let's get the foundation first. The foundation is this. We are all called. We are all commissioned. We are all empowered. We are all commanded to go out and live for the purpose of glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ, glorifying our Heavenly Father. All of mine are yours and yours are mine, Jesus says, and I am glorified through them. He said all, and all of mine are yours and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. John chapter 15, verse 8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so you will be my disciples. We're not seeing any differentiation in gifts here, are we? We're not seeing, you know, the one guy is an engineer and another guy is a cider and somebody else is a flight attendant and somebody else is a pastor and somebody. We're not seeing that here, are we? We're seeing that all are glorifying Jesus Christ, and we're seeing that my Father is glorified, that we bear much fruit. All of us. This is to the body of Christ that we're talking right now. Are you a part of that body? Because if you are, then you're called and commissioned and commanded to glorify and to complete the work that we have been created for and appointed to. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Once again, doesn't matter what you do. This is who you are. You are called and commissioned and commanded. As my Father has sent me, so send I you. You didn't choose me. I chose you. And I have sent you out there to go and complete a work. I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that you should go and complete the task that I see is right for you. This, again, is universal over the entire body of Christ. So on all of these points, my friends, everybody's equal, man, woman, and child. Given life by God, saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, redeemed through His work, called, commissioned, and sent to live. And the natural proof that this is true is that we are here. Because I am fully convinced that when what I have been chosen to and sent to do is complete, I won't be here any longer. So I don't live my life in any fear of departing this planet, because I know I'm not going anywhere until Jesus Christ says, well done, good and faithful servant, now come to the kingdom that I have prepared for you. As long as He has work for me to do here, there is nothing that can get me off of this planet. Even if I want to get off, this is where we are. So let's live. This is what it means to be a Christian in life, not just in the workplace. We're talking about life. Knowing that we are all called to the same purpose, but not to the same position, helps us settle into life. It helps us work passionately for the kingdom of God today. In whatever position that God has us for now, while also living prepared and looking forward to any task our Lord may ask of us in the future. We're not going to take the time to go through 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 13 in entirety, but I want you to turn over there if you have your Bibles. If not, just listen as I read a little bit to us. Starting in verse 4. Now, this is where it begins to get a little bit more interesting. We have laid the foundation on the truth of Scripture. Abide. If you want to bear fruit, abide. We have laid the foundation that we are all called, commissioned, and sent to go out and live for what? Live for the glory of the Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. This is right through the whole thing. Now, you say, but I don't feel like I can speak like so-and-so, and I can't do music like so-and-so, and so-and-so is in, they're over in China, or they're in the Middle East serving as a missionary, and how am I going to get my family? How am I going to, if we're all called and we're all commissioned? You're missing the point. That's not the point. The point is we're all called to glorify the Heavenly Father through the Lord Jesus Christ, to bear much fruit because we abide in the Lord Jesus Christ, because we know who we are, we know what our roots are dug down into, we know how we stand, and so we live, and Jesus Christ is glorified, and the work of the kingdom is completed. And when we look back and forth at each other and say, but he can, and he can, and she can, and she can, and he can, and we start to play this silly game, apparently that was happening 2,000 years ago. So I guess it's not a unique problem. So in verse 4 it says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of teaching by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit work all things, distributing to each one individually as He will. I don't believe that we need to beat that up a lot. Can we understand that what Jesus Christ has called us to, commanded us to, is abide in Him? If you abide in me, and my word abides in you, you will bear much fruit. And it is by this that my Father is glorified, that you do bear much fruit. Now I understand it doesn't matter if I'm a cider or a pastor or an engineer. If I can play the guitar and sing or if I can't, it doesn't matter. Because God has already, through the Spirit, appointed diversities of gifts and abilities as He sees fit. So can we understand that if we are a body and Christ is the head, that we don't need to tell Him how to do His job? Maybe He needs you at Southwest Airlines. And maybe He needs you at Micron. And maybe He needs you where you are. And I will tell you this, if I can interject a little bit of my life story again, the Lord Jesus Christ needs me right where I am right now. And I am thankful that I can stand before you today, because maybe I wouldn't have been quite so confident even 2 years ago, and say that as God asked me to resign from pastoring and begin doing business again, and I struggled, and He didn't make it easy. But men who worked for me when I had 40 employees, back in the heyday, found out I was back in business. And while I said I was a complete failure and that I stunk at everything and that I should never do business again and that I wasn't worthy of people even trusting me again, they didn't see it that way. And many of them work for me today. And they said that during the crash, they used to get together and say, "Do you remember the days of Greg? Oh, if he would ever show up in this valley again, what an incredible thing that would be." I looked at him and I said, "You guys are insane. You have no idea the epic failure that I am." They said, "You care. You always cared about every one of us. And our lives were the best when you were our boss. And we're all coming back to work for you." Every one of them that we see, yeah, he used to work with us. "Hey, Greg's back, come on." and you. Greg's back. Come on. And they started doing this in 2014. It was unbelievable. As I was in the process of failing yet again, couldn't get us enough work. I was starving out. The word started getting around. I'd been back for about a year. And it started going through the guys. These guys are alcoholics. These guys are druggies. These guys have got enough child support coming out of their checks that they can't buy groceries. Their lives are an absolute disaster. And the word just goes around. He's back. Let's get over there and follow him. And I said, I'm the last person on this planet that you should want to follow. Let's just take a look at the history here a little bit. They said, we don't care. We don't care. Our lives are a disaster. We don't have cars anymore. We don't have a place to live anymore. Been to jail two or three times on probation. That's our life. So how's your life looking now? I said, it's actually looking really blessed. And they said, we want to come back. Greg, let's build it. Greg, let's run. If you will be the general, we will be your lieutenants, and we will conquer the world. And I just shook my head. And then God started sending work. One guy goes back to jail because he had run away from something, didn't show up at something. He spends 6 months in jail. Other guy's gone to court all the time. Community service, this problem, that it's just something else. These are the men that God has put back into my life. I have to believe that God did this on purpose. Because I can tell you one thing for sure. They should never view me the way that they do. So God's been painting a picture in front of them. And God has provided me the opportunity to be not just a man in their life, but a mentor, a leader in their life, a leader whom they desire to follow and to emulate more than anything else. That is the most humbling thing that has happened to me in many, many years. Because if I was anybody, I'd be following me last of all. But apparently God doesn't see it that way. And apparently God doesn't rate success and failure the same way that I do. Because these guys love me. And they're still struggling. They know what I believe. They tell me that they know what I believe. One guy told me one day, he said, as I was making some goofy comment like I do to you guys right now, but I don't have any idea why, he said, Greg, you need to stop. He said, I'm going to tell you something that is very hard for you to believe. Every single man who works for you wants to be you in some way or another. So will you just let it go and be who you are? Oh, that was a pretty good. Stop your whining. Stop your complaining and putting yourself down. It's really what he was saying. How about if you stand up because we see you stand? We know what you believe. We know what you fight for. Whether you have struggled and fallen and whatnot, we ain't counting that. We ain't counting. I don't see that Jesus is counting that in my life either. Because if he was, I wouldn't be standing here right now, would I? Apparently Jesus doesn't count success and failure the way that I do. So two of my guys are heading out to some party somewhere that they didn't tell me they were going to. And they get thrown in jail out north of Idaho Falls in January. That's just awesome. They're running a job in the Twin Falls. It's now completely demanned. I get a call from the girlfriends and wives while they're in jail. And they're having trouble raising the money for bail. I go, what are they in jail for? Well, it's a felony. Oh, that's good. So what are they in jail for? Well, it's a, I think I don't really want to tell you. And I said, well, I kind of want to know. And so one of the guys was able to use a phone in the, evidently out in the front of the jail or somehow. I don't even know how you call people out of jail. But anyway, I got a call and he said, look, we can't put the money together for bail. He said, we got it the first time. See, how did this go? I think they needed $10,000 bail. They needed $1,000, 10%. So they got it. They pulled it together. They went and saw the judge Monday morning. Judge bumped it to $25,000. Now they need $2,500. They can't come up with the other $1,500 each. They told me, I think we can come up with another $500 each. Will you help us out with $1,000 each? I said, what did you do? We got caught with cocaine on us. I was like, what are you thinking? What are you doing? He's like, you know the biker crowd that we hang out with? Like, yes, I do. They're not a good crowd. We know you don't agree with us hanging out with them. What were you doing? We were going to a biker party. Interesting. You want me to bail you out? And I struggled for hours. I wrestled for hours. I thought, you know what? They should sit in jail. That's really what they need. They should sit in jail. I had to do something by 5 o'clock, and about 4:58 as I prayed, and I prayed with my wife. And I was wrestling. I mean, I needed my guys to be at work, but I needed them to get smacked by the judge, too. I needed them to sit in jail. You know what I mean? Until I realized this. Jesus hasn't treated me that way. Oh, if my failures were counted against me, how would I stand? And God convicted me of this. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Mercy triumphs over judgment. And I bailed them both out. I met them on the job the next morning. And these tough biker gang dudes, one of them who has known me for many, many years, another guy who's fairly new to me, they said all of our biker buddies abandoned us when we got caught and thrown in jail. They were nowhere to be found, and we're supposed to be a band of brothers. You hate what we do, and you bailed us out. And they cried. And I told them about Jesus for about the umpteenth time. It doesn't matter how many times I have to tell them, does it? You say, sprinkle the seeds, right, Matt? Sprinkle the seeds, man. Sometimes when God gives you the chance, just pour it on. Because I bailed a couple of guys out of jail, they stood crying and listening as I told them about Jesus again. I don't know what they're going to do with that. It's not my responsibility, is it? We're talking about Christianity and work. We're talking about the work of the kingdom. Do you know that in all of the sermons that I preached, in all the counseling that I had the opportunity to do as I was a pastor, I never had one single experience that would measure up to that. So today, I stand here convicted. It is not the position that God has you in today that matters. It is the calling that He has on all of our life that matters. How about if we live for the Lord Jesus Christ where we are today? Pastoring, then pastor. Missionary, then be a missionary. Cider, then be a cider. Running employees, then run them. Working at Micron, then work there. Doing what you do it. Live it. And when the Lord Jesus Christ puts a situation into your life, pray for wisdom because you don't know what the outcome could be. What I did was completely counterintuitive to what I wanted to do. I did the exact opposite thing that I wanted to do. And then I watched them break as mercy triumphed over judgment. And they judged themselves guilty. And they judged me as merciful. And I told them I'm only merciful because the Lord Jesus Christ has been merciful to me. I said, I wanted to leave you guys in jail. I took until 4:58 because I was pacing circles, wanting to leave you in jail, but wanting to get you out, wanting to help you, but not wanting to help you, wanting to get smacked over the head, but wanting to try to save you. You know what I'm saying? And I just did this. But Jesus said to me, mercy, give mercy, because I've given mercy, endless mercy to you in your life. And I extended to you boys what the Lord Jesus Christ has endlessly extended to me and what he continues to extend to me. And it broke their hearts. Someday, my friends, you might get to meet him. You might get to meet him here. I pray you get to meet him in heaven. I don't care how many times I have to bail people out. If you can meet them in heaven, then it was worth it all. They both paid me back 100% of that $1,000. Every penny. I'm out nothing. I'm out nothing. But I gained the opportunity to preach a sermon like I had never had a chance to preach before. Awesome. Will we live? Can we be where we are, not worrying so much about the position, but knowing the calling? We know that 1 Corinthians chapter 13, in the end of 12, Paul says, but I will show you even a more excellent way. And in 13, he begins to speak about love. That love triumphs it all. Oh man, how it works. Sometimes the people frustrate us. My guys frustrate me to no end sometime with their inconsistency and their tardiness and their no calls and no shows and leaving me hanging when I need them, being in jail when they're supposed to be at work. You know, I mean, these are inconvenient things. But live where you are. That's where God has called me to be right now. That's where he's called me to live right now. The next thing I want to tell you is that think about what you're passionate about, what you're naturally gifted at, okay? What are you passionate about? What are you gifted at? These are starting points for us to think about, okay? These are starting points for where we can work right now, where we are, your place of work, in your community, in your church. You are gifted. Don't be afraid to use those gifts wherever you are. However, do not allow just that to limit who you are or what Christ can do in and through you. Live for Christ now, where you are, and you will be effective for the kingdom. But know this, Jesus Christ can and he will stretch you. You are more than you know. We are capable of more than we think. But the important thing is to abide in the vine. See, as we're abiding in the vine, we're going to be pruned. Did you notice that was kind of like a promise? If you abide, if you bear fruit, you will be pruned so that you will be more fruitful. So let's be prepared to be cut, because when we're cut, it forces growth. Jesus has the ability to steer us and to change our direction as a good arborist can steer, shape, form, and mold a vine or a plant by cutting and by pruning. If you prune, it will grow. If you prune, it will grow, and you can turn it. And Jesus will cut and he will prune even things that we think are good in our life. We're going this way and we think it's good, and whack, the arm gets cut right off. So I guess we're not going that way anymore, so we're going this way. And that may be exactly where Jesus Christ wants us to go. What I need to stop doing, what you need to stop doing, is judging that the way that we were going, there was something wrong with it because it got cut off. It says that if you bear fruit, you will be pruned so that you will bear more fruit. So live passionately for Jesus Christ where you are right now and doing what you are right now, but never say it is all you can do or it is all you will ever do, because you may be exactly where God wants you right now, and God may choose to get you fired tomorrow. So you can say, I guess I was in the wrong place. No, what if you were in exactly the right place? And what if God wants you over here? If I was still working for Tappany Underground in the Tri-Cities, managing that company, I would not have been here. And God needed me here. He wanted me here. Do I believe that God could have found someone else to minister in my guys' life? Absolutely. He could, but God didn't do it that way. He cut me here, steered me over here, and I was right here when I needed to be here. So can I stop with all the second guessing and live today where I am for the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that He will accomplish in and through me, in and through you, the work that He has for you today? And when He cuts and when He prunes, it will prepare you to be where you're supposed to be tomorrow. We needn't judge ourselves and we needn't judge the circumstances and situations. We can rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe there is great peace in that. Colossians chapter 5, verse 12. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so also you must forgive, and above all, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That's kind of like the roots growing down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. The word of Christ dwelling in us richly, nurturing us, feeding us, empowering us for what it is that He has asked us to do. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing songs, hymns, and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And now the key verse for me. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. That's the sum of the sermon. We can tell all the stories, and we can back it all up with Scripture. But at the end of the day, my friends, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Do the cleansing, the purifying, and the nurturing work of the Word. And then in everything that you do, in everything. I see that as at home with my wife and kids, how I'm a boss to my guys, how I treat my customers, how I conduct myself at church, in the community, in everything that you do. Do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks the whole time that we have the opportunity to live for Jesus. Abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ and doing everything in His name, I believe that we can say with a great deal of certainty, my friends, it matters not if you're a shepherd or a plumber or a pilot. It doesn't matter what you do. You know who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Should we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you have called all of us to live for your glory. Thank you that you have, as the head of the body, designed each one of us with so many different gifts and abilities. Father, I pray that you will help us to enjoy that reality instead of comparing ourselves amongst ourselves and just wanting to be who we're not. Father, will you allow us to live? Oh, Jesus, will you give us the wisdom and the strength and the humility to abide in you, drawing strength and nourishment from you? May your word dwell in us. And as we live, as we go out there and we work, as we go out and we interact in culture and in life, Jesus, will you just flow through us in everything that we do, that we would do it all for your glory. And we know this Jesus, convict us of this, that we needn't try so hard to bear fruit, but rather just abide in you and know that there will be much fruit and we can rejoice in that knowledge. Thank you for the peace that that brings. Thank you for the joy, the hope, and the expectation of the truth. We pray against the lies that I'm not and I can't and I will never. Oh, Jesus, you would infuse us with the hope and the knowledge that we can, that we will, and that we are. In Jesus' name, amen.